Amen. Thank you for blessing us this morning. Can we give them a hand clap of praise? Thank you, God, and thank you for the gifts that you have has given these folks. I don't know about you, but I have experienced this thing called fall allergies. Anybody else have that? I thought that allergies were only in the spring, right, when things bloom? Oh, no, no, no. So bear with me this morning. My voice is a little off, so hopefully I've got some water and y'all won't have to suffer too long if I start creaking. We are in the midst of this sermon series called Truth or Dare, and today I'm going to be talking about risky authenticity. We were blessed last month. Someone donated a car to us. I've got a couple college-age students, and we are grateful for this car, but this car has 239,000 miles on it, right? But that's okay. We're grateful to have it. And so I'm on the phone with the insurance company and, trying to negotiate lower rates. I'm sure I'm not alone to do that with adding another vehicle. So on the phone with the person from the insurance company and trying to figure out different discounts and whatnot. And she offers something called Smart Ride. And what Smart Ride is this horrible device that they put in your car. And it tracks how you drive, right? And you get a discount based on your how well or not well that you drive. And so I thought, sure, sign us up. That would be great. And so we got two boxes that came in the mail with these little horrible devices. And I thought, no problem. We'll put these in the kids' cars. Well, one of those is for my car. That wasn't the deal. And so I was like, oh, no, this is not going to be a good thing because I don't know if we might be similar. I like to drive a little too fast, maybe a little too close. So we'll see how all this works out with the Smart Ride. But I share this with you because all of a sudden I've got risky authenticity because someone, I've got Big Brother in my car, is watching my driving habits. So this should be interesting to see how this turns out come January. I've got a long way to go with this. You see, sometimes we are in situations when we have no choice but to be authentic. And sometimes we are in situations that we find ourselves vulnerable. There was a movie out a couple of years ago called Meet the Parents with Ben Stiller. And I just love this movie. And there's a part in this movie where he's put on the spot to pray, to say grace. And in this moment, right, he has to be vulnerable and authentic with who he really is and how comfortable he is in saying grace. So I want to share that clip with you this morning.
Greg, would you like to say grace?
Greg's Jewish dad. You know that.
You're telling me the Jews don't pray, honey? Unless you have some objection.
No, I'd love to. Pam, come on. It's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace in many a dinner table. That's okay. Oh, dear God, thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day, day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray: to love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Thank you, Greg. That was interesting, too.
Authenticity can be risky and it can be painful at times. We can be exposed when we least expect it. The Apostle Paul wrote the epistles, or letters for various reasons that are found in the New Testament to encourage the early church to live boldly and to live authentically for the gospel, but also to let them know that he was praying for them. You see, Paul's prayer to the people of the Philippians was just not an ordinary prayer, but it was one that was intentional. It was heartfelt, it was authentic, and it was very specific. I'd like to share this part of the letter with you. It's from Philippians, the first chapter, and we start at the 9th verse, and the words are going to be up on the screen, and you can follow along, but I want you to listen to these words and to hear these words as I share them with you. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless on the day for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. You see, when we pray, we usually pray for something specific. And this morning we prayed specifically for those that are impacted by the hurricane. Many of you know we do live stream and we do Facebook Live, which I encourage you to share that on your feed. And during the first service, I always like to get on and just welcome folks. And there are some folks that, by the grace of God, still have power down in the Carolinas. And there are some that are watching us and are with us on live stream. So can we just lift up a hand to let them know that we are lifting you in prayer and we thank you for being with us. But we usually pray again for something specific, and it could be for healing, for restoration of a relationship. It could be for a job if it's something that we have lost, if we're looking for a new job, maybe to sell a house or to buy a house, for someone that has lost a loved one, all things that are so important. But Paul is praying this broad prayer that is deep and it's risky and that it has implications. It's a way of life prayer for God to be illuminated in their lives so much that the love of Christ would penetrate their being through their love, that they would grow in knowledge and in depth of understanding, depth of insight to help them to discern what is best, what is pure, what is blameless. When we think of light, we think of it being filtered through in different ways. And as we embark on cooler temperatures, one day it's going to happen, we're not going to be 90 degrees forever, we're going to begin to see frost on our windshields. And that light that comes through the frost is translucent. And we see light, but we see shapes, and they're distorted. Similar to frosted glass that many of us have in our homes on various doors. You see, and we can see the images, but they're blurry. And then we have transparent glass, and we can see on the other side, transparent glass, where there's full light that comes in, there's full vision. Even a bottle of water, we can look through. It's transparent, we can see through it, and we're able to discern, and we're able to see clearly. We're able to see, and others are able to see us clearly. We have choices every day, and you all made the choice to come to worship today, to be here. Is our relationship with God transparent? Are we open to share with him, to be authentic, to be vulnerable? Or is it translucent, right? That frosted glass. We like to stay a little blurry. We like to stay a little blurry, and we don't want to be fully known. I, like many of you, have different radio stations programmed into my car. We've all got a variety of buttons when we listen to music. And on two of my settings in my car, I have K-Love 104.3, and the other is a Star 93.3, and they are Christian radio stations. And I find when I'm in the car listening to the radio, as if God is speaking to me when I have on one of those stations through the lyrics of a particular song. I don't know if you've experienced that before. And I encourage you, if you don't have one of those two stations programmed into your car, to do that. It's a way that God is able to speak into your life. And recently when I was listening to the radio, there was this beautiful song on the radio called Known by Torrin Wells. And I want to share just a little bit of the lyrics with you. It goes, it's so unusual, it's frightening. You see right through the mess inside of me. And you call me out to pull me in. You tell me that I can start again. And I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go no matter what I do. It's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, to be fully known and loved by you. Risky authenticity through transparency allows God to be fully illuminated to us, to feel his warmth and love and his grace, no matter the mess inside each of us. In our scripture today, Paul's people, from the people of Philippi, is that their love would thrive in knowledge and a depth of insight, that they would be able to discern and make decisions. This type of discernment Paul is referring to is a spiritual direction and an understanding. Understanding things through the lens of God. Discernment that is achieved through knowledge and depth of insight. And in Paul's prayer, he prays for two specific things, knowledge and depth of insight. You see, knowledge is good. A lot of us have knowledge. We all have knowledge, and it's good to have knowledge. But this is a different kind of knowledge, a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of you may be aware or not, I am a full-time graduate student, as well as working full-time here, and I'm working on my Master of Divinity degree, and I have 6 classes left and will finish in May of 2019. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when I started this journey, someone said to me, don't let seminary ruin you. And that has stayed with me. And what that person meant by that, don't have so much knowledge that I'm no good and I miss God, right? And that I'm up here preaching academically that I have so much knowledge that I'm no earthly good, right? There's an English philosopher and scientist who lived during the 1500s, and his name was Sir Francis Bacon. And he coined the phrase, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power is a popular proverb that we hear today. And it means that knowledge is more powerful than physical strength. And no great work can be done without knowledge. Knowledge is a powerful factor that empowers people to achieve great results. And the more knowledge a person gains, the more powerful he or she becomes. Webster defines knowledge as understanding, comprehension, and awareness. But the Greek definition of knowledge that Paul is referring to is knowledge of a particular thing, perception, discernment, intuition. It's a different kind of knowledge. You see, Paul's prayer was to have knowledge of God in a personal sense. This depth of insight. You see, it's not just about knowing the Bible. It's good to have that knowledge. But Paul's prayer for his friends in Philippi is to grow in their recognition of God, their perception, their intuition to know God. We're called to make disciples as Christians. Jesus gave us the Great Commission to go and to make disciples and to be witnesses in the world. And knowledge is good, but sharing our depth of insight of how God is real to each and every one of us is how we can be most effective in the world. Perception, recognition, intuition. There's a familiar saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Many times we seek opportunities to gain knowledge, and the church is no different. This is a place where we learn. We learn through the weekly messages. I pray that you walk out of here each week that you feel that God has spoken to you in one way or another. It could be through a song that we sang together. It could be through a prayer time, a conversation with someone. It could be through the message. I pray that God has touched your life, that you have a deeper knowledge of him, but that you have deeper insight of him. And that many of us are involved in Bible studies. We're involved in small groups. Those are great ways to gain knowledge and to really discern how God is working in our lives. We just started a new member class last Sunday. It's continuing today. And I love new member class. I love getting to know new people. So we spent a couple of hours together last Sunday. And it was a time where we got to know these folks, but they also got to know Tim and I last week during that time. And so it was great for them to be able to get a glimpse of us outside of Sunday morning, and we were able to share a little bit with them. You see, it is the depth of insight in relation to knowledge that we have that God allows us to discern. And any type of discernment that will cause us to see God in the everyday life that honors God, that's what Paul is talking about. So how do we see God? How do we see God? First, we have to open our hearts. We open our eyes, we open our ears and our minds, and we trade that translucent, frosty glass in our lives for transparent, to be able to fully see God and for God to be able to fully see us. I shared a story with you all last spring that my daughter Olivia had gone down to Nicaragua for a mission trip, and some of you may be familiar with that, and got extremely, extremely sick while she was down there. And I was in the hospital for 5 days, and it was quite a journey that we were on. And so she is still recovering from that episode that she had down there. And she is a UC student, and this summer stayed down on campus, and she works in the Office of Admissions. And this was in June, and she had sent me a text and said, "Mom, I'm not feeling well." And I could sense that she was very sick. And this was in June. March is when the trip happened, and so we're still working on healing of the body. At this point. So I text her and I said, you know, just remember to breathe and just pray for God to give you peace and calmness in not feeling well. And so then she texted me back a few minutes later and said, "I'm not doing well," and felt like she was going to pass out. And so I'm up here, right, not too far from UC, but I'm still here. So I go into this mode of one is mom mode, and I pick up the phone and I call down the Office of Admissions and I said, "You know, I'm Olivia's mom. She's not feeling well. We need to get somebody in there to help her." And then I went into prayer mode. And I'm like, "God, please send some folks to be able to help her in this time when she is not well." And so as it turns out, I got a call shortly after that time from the paramedics that she was okay, but they were going to transfer her to the hospital. And I met them down there. And she is, by the grace of God, on the path to wellness and wholeness, but it has been a journey because of that experience that she had in Nicaragua. So fast forward, I am in the new member class last week, and I am talking to somebody after the class, right? We're getting to know each other, and she said that she happens to work down at UC as well in the financial aid office. And I thought, I just wonder if maybe she had heard Olivia's story. And as she and I are talking, she didn't know anything about her being sick. Through the course of our conversation, she proceeds to tell me that she was with Olivia during this episode, and she was the person who called 911 to get her help. And I have chills every time I tell this story. She was the angel that I prayed for somebody to go and help her. You see, only God can do these things. Only God can do these things. And it's when we have this transparency in our life and our vulnerability that we allow for God to see us and for us to see God, to see that he is working in our midst. Oh, we couldn't have planned any of that. And I couldn't have even planned for her to decide to come and to be a part of this faith family, to join the family here at Faith Community. What a joy and a privilege to be able to meet her and to be able to share that God story with all of you. Many of us, when we have news in our life, we have this feeling we can't wait to tell somebody, right? You've got some big news and you want to tell somebody. We all have had situations in our lives where things have not gone as planned, right? And when we get to heaven, we want to say, God, we got some questions. Why did this have to happen, right? All of us have those questions. Why did this have to happen to me? Why did I have to lose this loved one? Why did I have to have this diagnosis? Why, when we get to heaven? But when I have moments like this, and I pray that when you have moments like this, that when you get to heaven, you say, God, I can't wait to tell you. I saw you. You showed up here in this moment. You sent this person. I saw you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, risky authenticity, it can be a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. And Paul, he ends this prayer to the Philippians to encourage them to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Fruit of righteousness. You see, we have good news. God sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us and has given us the fruit of the Spirit to help us navigate and discern life. To know right from wrong, to know when we see him show up, that we see the hand of God. I want to share the fruit of the Spirit with you that's found in Galatians. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God sent the Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit so that we might know Jesus. God sent the Spirit so that we might know Jesus. So we're in this series, Truth or Dare. How are you daring to seek God to have the depth of insight as you make decisions, as you navigate the circumstances that you find yourself in, and to live each day to the fullest? Dare to be fully known and fully loved. Dare to be known and fully loved. Let us pray. Oh God, we come before you in this moment and we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it encourages us this day, Lord, that as we walk out of here, that our eyes and our ears and our minds would be open, Lord, to see you in our midst, that we're not alone. And I pray for this glass that we have around us, Lord, that we could be transparent, dare to be transparent, dare to be transparent with you and dare to be transparent with others, to be fully known and to be fully loved. God, we have a tendency to hide from you, hide with what we're doing, hide with how we're feeling, our anger, our hurt. God, I pray that you would help us to be brave, to step out in faith and boldness and authenticity, Lord. Oh God, and be blessed by your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, that you meet us here and for your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.